The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back for the second hour of Denver's only live, local, conservative Saturday morning show. I'm Randy Corcoran. So good to have you along, and very pleased to be joined by the junior senator from the state of Colorado, Cory Gardner. Welcome.
Good morning.
I am glad to have you here, of course, and grateful that it's not a five-minute hit. We've got about 10 or 15 minutes we can spend with you. And, you know, given that it's July of this year rather than July of next year, and I expect that we'll be talking again, rather than you going rapid fire through issue after issue after issue, I would really love to spend a little bit of time kind of getting people reacquainted with Cory Gardner. I mean, you are really, you're the consummate American, Irish, German, Austrian, English descent. What is it, four generations of family history in Yuma, Colorado?
It's a long time. That's right. Our daughter's the fourth generation alone to go through the Yuma school system. Poor kid.
Yeah. You served in the state legislature, went to the House of Representatives, replaced Betsy Markey. Now you're a United States Senator at 44 years old, one of only 100 holding that position. Were you always committed? I know you've got a JD, that your undergraduate was in political science, but was politics always on your mind, or what put you in mind to devote your life to public service?
You know, when I was going through law school, I actually wanted to go back to my hometown. Believe it or not, it was a town that didn't really even have a full-time attorney, and I wanted to go back and practice law, eventually take over the family business selling farm equipment, and that's what I thought I would do. And looking back at it, though, I mean, I was always engaged in kind of weird things for a kid, you know, getting the governor of Colorado out to eastern Colorado to talk about rural education issues, really interested in my dad's service on city council. You know, they met once a month in this little tiny town, and I got engaged in some issues there. And so looking back, you can see it probably wasn't a normal thing for a high schooler to be doing that kind of stuff. But I really thought that I would end up taking over the implement dealership, and I think my dad is still wondering where the heck I am.
Yeah, I'll bet. Son, what are you doing there in Washington, D.C.? Was it was the transition from Yuma, you know, obviously to the big city, Denver, bigger city now, bigger mess now, but then all of a sudden being out in Washington, D.C., your colleague and our mutual friend Ken Buck, now chairman of the Colorado State GOP, wrote the book Draining the Swamp. Was there anything that was particularly shocking when you first got to Washington, D.C.?
Well, you know, I think one of the things about growing up in rural America in general, and rural Colorado in particular, you know, you find yourself in bigger cities because, you know, we always had to go up to Greeley for our sports, whether it was football or basketball. You had to go to Denver to find an orthodontist or something like that, you know, and so, you know, people from rural Colorado end up finding themselves in the city for different things. And I think that gives them a perspective of both, but certainly, I mean, the way cities work, the lack of knowledge sometimes of your community and your neighbors is something I hope that we can address. I hope that every city is able to build a community, no matter how big or small it is, because that helps us all. And so I think communities really can empower individuals, and you know, you don't want people lost in that anonymity.
You know the old saying, if you're young and not a Democrat or a liberal, you've got no heart. As you get older, if you're not a Republican or a conservative, you've got no brain. And you actually made the switch from Democrat to Republican in college. What caused that change?
Well, you know, growing up in Yuma, my dad was a Democrat. My granddad was a Democrat. And so and to rebel in Yuma, when you're 18 years old, you become a Democrat. I realized pretty quickly going to college with the things going around that, boy, that's just not who I am or what I believe and what I stand for. And what do I mean by that? I mean that I think people should be empowered with their own two hands, own two feet, and their mind to be able to accomplish what no government ought to or should for anyone. It's about getting the government out of the way and letting America work, and that's really what I have fought for these years in public service.
That was back in the day when the Democrat Party, you know, you had the Blue Dog Democrats, people who were focused on labor and other things. One of the powerful moments, or really the theme of your address to the Western Conservative Summit a couple of weeks ago, and it sounds like it's going to be a campaign focus of yours, is to draw the bright line distinction between our side of the aisle, whether you're a moderate Republican right up through, you know, Tea Party Patriot, draw the distinctions between that and the absolute out of control radicalism on the left.
Well, and in that speech, I said the most dangerous thing to come out of the 2016 presidential election was the normalization of socialism by Bernie Sanders. And I think it's important to point out that this mass of people running for a president who've all embraced elements of socialism, you know, Medicare for all, you know, the Green New Deal, an end to energy jobs because they don't like them, repeal the tax cuts and, you know, try to distribute the wealth like that. You know, so I think that's not who America really is. But I also believe that that's not what the majority of even Democrats believe. I think they've gone too far for even majority Democrats. I can tell you what, you know, my dad, who remains a Democrat to this day, is not going to be supporting an effort like that. I mean, so these are things that I think we have to highlight that will appeal to people across Colorado, whether it's a suburban voter or a urban voter, and on a larger scale nationally, talking about this overreach of government, this sort of overextension of power, and that socialism, it's just not who we are.
As I said at the start, if it was July of next year, it'd be a different interview than the one we're doing now. I hope that we get to have you back sometime real soon. And there's some great things that are coming to Colorado that I want to make sure we get into before we run out of time with you here in about 8 minutes or so. But I think it's really important for people to understand what life is like for a U.S. senator, especially one who can't just hop on an Uber, you know, 15 minutes to his suburban home outside of DIA. You're, what, 2 hours from Denver, 2 hours from DIA to get home. People have this vision, you know. You now have a salary for life, and you've benefits, full retirement, you know, from being in the and you work 6 or 7 months out of the year. Let's shed a little light on the role of U.S. senator.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's about a 2-hour drive, depending on how strictly you adhere to the speed limit to the airport. But the good news is it's only about 2 stoplights from DIA to my home, so it's a good relaxing drive out into the heartland of Colorado. We leave usually on Monday mornings early in the morning and try to catch a meeting perhaps somewhere on the way, either in Denver or elsewhere. And then head out to Washington, D.C., and it's a week. Gosh, we've had as many as 35, 40 meetings in a single day with constituents, and that's starting really doggone early and going pretty late in the evening, and with votes in between and committee hearings in between. And just like this week, I am in Grand Junction today. I'm actually looking out the window at our hotel room at the Bureau of Land Management's new view here in Washington. I'm from Washington here in Grand Junction. And so I think today we're doing a couple of meetings, rallies, and roundtables. Going to be talking about the national popular vote here today and some other things. So that's this weekend. We'll be elsewhere in Colorado today as well, and then back home to see the family briefly, unfortunately briefly, and then back to work.
Yeah, it's not just being away from home so much and your 3 kids. I mean, as a senator with the left as violent and aggressive as it is, with getting flack from, you know, Republicans and folks on your own side of the aisle quite a bit, you've had to deal with things as disgusting as graphic texts of beheadings and that sort of thing sent to your family, sent to your wife.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. You know, I mean, this is a country that is divided, but that doesn't mean that you send people pictures of beheadings and that you send threats or break people's Christmas lights in their front yard. That's just not who we are as a country.
People, you know, looking ahead, seeing what happened, the debacle in Colorado, what Democrat control has led to as far as local legislation, are really wondering, you know, how do Republicans come together? What's the perspective they need to take on the reelection of Donald Trump? What's your relationship with Donald Trump? Let's spend a couple of minutes on that, and I know they're going to try dragging you away here in about 4 or 5 minutes. I also want to talk about things like the new Space Force and the BLM coming to Colorado. But let's just talk about the election. We've got plenty of time in future interviews to get down and dirty on details. But what's the strategy going forward? How can we pull Colorado back, reelect you, and bring Donald Trump home for Coloradoans?
Well, I think one of the sort of the things that people don't talk about very much is the fact that John McCain lost Colorado by about 8 points. Mitt Romney lost Colorado by about 6 points. Donald Trump lost Colorado by about 4 points. So he did better than McCain or Romney did. A lot of people talk about how this is going to happen in Colorado. Well, look at the state legislature. Look what they did and the overreach that they pursued. People are upset. People are angry about what happened. And, they see now that things like tax increases are on the menu and things like gutting the limits on taxes are at risk. And they don't like what's happening. They see what's happening at the federal level where, Medicare for All is just another name for socialized medicine that could cut 160 million people off their insurance. So we have to get that message out there. We have to share with people that there is no Neil Gorsuch without a Republican in the White House, without a Republican in the Senate majority. There is no tax cut package without that. There is no ability to reform regulations that are hurting American businesses and our economy. And if you look at what we've done, billions of dollars in regulatory reductions. We've cut taxes. We've actually allowed economic growth. Nearly $1 trillion have come back from overseas into the United States for investment into our economy. Business confidence is high. So those are things that have happened because we have taken an approach that Americans know best, not the government. And that's what we have to get that message out to share with everybody. What's at risk if we don't continue this?
People ask, I hear it commentary on radio all the time, that the Republican Party in Colorado, that the Gardner campaign want nothing to do with Trump victory, Colorado, or, tying yourselves to the president. What's your perspective on the president? What's your relationship with the president?
Well, look, I hope the president will come to Colorado. I hope he'll come and see all the great things that we've been able to do. I've talked to him just as recently as, I think, Thursday, just a couple of days ago, about the Bureau of Land Management move to Colorado. It wouldn't have happened without an administration committed to that, without President Trump being committed to moving the Bureau of Land Management to Colorado with the work that we were able to do with it. You look at what we can do with Space Command in Colorado. You look at what we've done with tax cuts. Anvil Points, I know that's not something that is on people's mind a lot, but Anvil Points was about $20 million that was owed to the people of Western Colorado. And it was not paid for a very long time. In fact, a decade worth of senators and even a Secretary of Interior from Colorado couldn't get it paid. And so we were able to get that paid back thanks to the work and the relationship that we have. So, there are times when we're going to disagree, but I hope he'll come to Colorado and we'll show him all the good things we can that we're doing in Colorado.
Will you stand with him at a rally in Colorado?
Well, you bet. And I think that I hope everybody will.
Yeah.
Look, this is not this country has to rise above this sort of revenge politics and get into doing good work for this country. And I hope that my colleagues will do the same. I invite all of them to do the same, because if we ought to be showing all the things that we're proud of here in this great state.
Your folks will pull you out when you need to go, and you just need to let me know. But, one of the constant memes around here has been, where was Gardner for the Air Force graduation ceremony with President Trump? I happen to know the answer to that question, but I don't think people understand some of the things you're involved with on the world stage. What's going on with China, Taiwan, and your family situation?
Yeah, we had actually made a promise to our daughter that if she got good grades, did well in school, that we would take her on a family trip, and we did that, and that led into a visit with the president of Taiwan and a number of other ministers of defense at a security dialogue, because I'm chairman of the East Asia subcommittee, and the president signed into law my Asia Reassurance Initiative Act, which is the most significant Asia strategy that Congress has passed in decades. And I was talking about that at this security conference, which happened to be at the same time, and I was on a panel with one of the deputy chiefs of the Russian military, one of the deputy generals of the China PLA. We had the NATO staff there. We had the EU staff there. It was a significant panel and an opportunity to talk about U.S. leadership and what we are doing to engage in the Pacific. And so that's why I missed it. It was sad. I heard it was a great time, but unfortunate that I couldn't be there, but look forward to it again.
Where does Colorado stand in competition for the Space Command? I truly believe Space Force is coming our way.
So that that was another thing that I talked to the president about last week on Thursday. And look, we're down to six cities, I believe, and we have several of them in Colorado, six sites with several of them in Colorado. I mean, it's Peterson, it's Buckley, it's Colorado Springs, it's Aurora, it's Cheyenne Mountain, NORAD. So these are things that we can, you know, I think we've got four of the six in Colorado. So we're in good shape, but we got to fight for it. We got to, you know, one of the other ones is in Alabama, which is home to the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee. The other one's in California. So we've got to make sure that we fight. But I think Colorado's mission set, what we do here, is right in line with what Space Command will be doing. And I know the president is very fond of Colorado. And so I hope that bodes well for the location. You know, because, look, you already moved the Bureau of Land Management to Colorado. We've moved significant portions of the USGS over to Golden, and I think this is another opportunity.
Yeah, and I know you need to go, but if you've got 30 seconds, elaborate on what that means to have the BLM in Grand Junction and bringing some general services functions to Golden.
Yeah, I just think that we're going to have a better administration when that administration is local. And if you look at the Bureau of Land Management, they have 245 million acres of land that they manage. 99% of those acres are west of the Mississippi River. And when I'm in Grand Junction meeting with county commissioners or farmers or ranchers or energy interests or environmentalists, they always talk about how their local office seems to get it right. But then somehow when it gets back into the Potomac and the Beltway, things go wrong. And so why don't we have those decision makers in their backyards instead of all the way out in Washington where local decisions can be made, where they're making decisions within the community that they're impacting the most? I think we'll have better decisions, better protections, better common sense as a result. This puts a little bit more common sense in Colorado, you know, Colorado common sense in Washington, and I think we need that.
Well, it's terrific that there is talk about Donald Trump being here in Colorado. I've heard that Trump victory Colorado is very focused on flipping this state, and I'm glad you brought up that he came much closer than the two previous Republican candidates. I think it's great that you're talking to him a lot, that these big issues like BLM and Space Force have potential to be, well, we already know BLM is here, but Space Force in Colorado is massive. I know there's a lot of issues, a lot of other things I'm sure you'd like to talk about, but I don't want to overstay the welcome given the fact that we're already past the time I know you needed to go.
Well, thank you, Randy. Look forward to doing it again, and just wish you the best of a weekend. And if you're we're in Grand Junction for meetings today, but they've got one heck of an air show going on Saturday and Sunday. So if you haven't made plans yet, you know, they've got some incredible shows. They've even got the Blue Angels over here and the Golden Knights. It's going to be incredible. So Saturday and Sunday, it's going on. So I guess a free advertisement for the people at Grand Junction.
Sure. And when you're here, it's not like 6 weeks of out of session. You're not working, right? I mean, what are you going to be doing to try and win Colorado during this off session?
Yeah, we'll be going all over the state, corner to corner. Traditionally, we've done a big Eastern Plains, Western Slope tour during August where we meet with local communities, leaders, roundtables, businesses, find out what's on people's minds, what's working, what's not working, how Congress can do a better job. You know, and I'll repeat it. We need more Colorado in Washington, less Washington in Colorado. And I think that's exactly what I've tried to do every step of the way. And that's how we'll use August, is to figure out a better way to do just that.
I had a text I'd hoped to read, but I've lost it. But the lady had basically said it was waiting for me when I got here this morning, that really wants Cory Gardner to win. He needs to be the candidate that earns the vote of conservatives, Republicans, and independents and makes us all want to win. Are you going to be out trying to earn our votes for the next 17 months?
Look, I have to. This country is too important to let it go a direction of Venezuela. You know, the president, when he went and spoke to the United Nations here a year or two ago, said that Venezuela isn't an example. It's not an example of failed socialism. It's socialism at work. And I'm not gonna let that future be what our children inherit. I'm going to fight like hell every day. Sorry about that. Every day for what we can do for this country.
Listen, man, the kind of passion I saw in the speech at the Western Conservative Summit and that level of emotion to fight for the America we love is what's going to win Colorado in 2020. Hope to have you back soon. I know we ran you a little late. Sorry about that. God bless you and safe travels.
Thanks, Randy. God bless. Yep, thank you. Take care. Thank
all right. U.S. Senator Cory Gardner, and man, the texts are rolling in. We'll ask him about POLUS. Ask him about Red Flag. Ask it. We will. I think it's important to get to know folks again, especially if feel like we've been out of touch. I really liked this closing statement from Senator Gardner at the Western Conservative Summit.
Too many people have sacrificed too much for us to give up. Because America, we're going to be bigger and stronger than ever. We're moving forward. And to the world, I have one simple message. When it comes to America, you ain't seen nothing yet.
If Senator Cory Gardner convinces the voters of Colorado that that is his heart on display, he will win in 2020. And if Cory Gardner wins, Donald Trump will win Colorado in 2020 as well. So that's what I'm going to be focused on for the next 17 months. And it's the president that has put me in that position. And boy, I hope you can bring yourself around to believe, feel, and think the same way. Because like Ken Clark said, if we continue to squabble with each other over the next 17 months, we continue to follow, buy into the way the left can pull us around by the nose hairs, always getting us to respond to them and the craziness, the Overton window stuff to keep us distracted, to blow up the systems, then we're done eventually. We might still reelect the president and buy ourselves a little more time. But there is plenty of time to be debating policies, conservative values, too much spending, too much this and too much that. Man, there is nobody more on fire about those issues than I am. But right now, I see Senator Gardner aligned with this president. I know for a fact, because he said it, that this president is aligned with Senator Cory Gardner. And at this particular point in time in our history, that's good enough for me. Open lines till the top of the hour, maybe a little bit further. I don't think we'll be hearing from Michelle Malkin until about 8:25. So load them up if you'd like. 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. And for all the texters and complainers about the questions that weren't asked, you heard Corey. He looks forward to the next time. I will make sure that happens, and I'll try to make it happen real soon. Right now it's 7:23. Wake up with Randy Corporan here at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh.
7:28, almost halfway through the show. I kind of like this cloudy day. It's been so hot. Storms later. 70 degrees now in the city. And phone lines are full. Most folks want to talk about Cory Gardner. Don't forget, we'll be joined by Michelle Malkin in the 8 o'clock. And hope to get through and do a lot of calls. Get your feedback on the Cory Gardner interview. It was interesting. We had people actually calling in during the interview saying that the Gardner speech, the interview, kind of just getting reacquainted with Gardner got their attention, got them, you know, back on board. They'll be watching. I mean, people want to support a winner, and they want to support the Republican when we've got the clown show on the left that we've got right now. John Hickenlooper, if he becomes the nominee, is going to be unable to separate himself from these idiots. I think putting himself on that stage, trying to be the adult in the room, he just looks foolish because it brings out the worst in all of his Democrat colleagues. Cory Gardner seems to have the right battle lines drawn anyway. And as far as I'm concerned, if the president's supporting somebody and there's no viable alternative, I mean, what other choice do we have? All right, let's start with Frank in Denver. He's been waiting the longest. Thank you, Frank. Welcome to the show.
I thought you were excellent in your interview techniques. You were soft in your approach. You were trying to find out where Corey's coming from, much like Craig Silverman starts out his interview slow and leading up, but you didn't even approach, if I was the judge, leading the witness. You were very good.
Well, thank you.
I think we have to look at the totality of a Cory Gardner. He is a young man, very smart, well-spoken, and what I picked up in this interview, passionate. And that's some very important skills to go up against somebody like Hickenlooper. and more thought out and more detailed, I think, with his political side background. The other thing I thought he was prescient in is the best thing that came out of the 16 election was the election of Donald Trump. And what he said, the worst thing was the introduction and, quote, normalization or bringing to the fore the idea of socialism by Bernie Sanders. And I think we have to expose that for what it is. But more than that, as Republicans, I think, and conservatives, I think we have to try to provide legislation and opportunity for the people who latched onto this socialistic idea that everything is should be made free or easy. That's not the way the U.S. got where it is. We got here by work and striving. And there's nothing wrong with that. It builds a stronger country. It's put us on top, and it needs to be sold and to keep us there. So overall, I thought it was a great interview, great lead-in, and I think that people should look at the trajectory of a Cory Gardner potential. He's young. He could be there for a long time. He could move way up in his Senate appointments, and he could way overshadow a guy like John Hickenlooper, who is just an opportunist and a spearhead for the radical left Democratic Party.
Yeah, and Hickenlooper is just so weak. He's just, there's no, I mean, he would never stand up to Donald Trump on the debate stage. And I hope candidates all around the country who have similar opponents, and that includes Cory Gardner if Hick is the opposition, really realize how important conveying strength and certainty and principle and love of country are in beating back these radical leftists, and that includes even a moderated John Hickenlooper. So great first comment, Frank. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too.
Oh, God, here it comes. Here it comes. Barney in Denver. Welcome back to the show, brother. How are you doing?
Come on, Randy. Pretty good. I was going to give you some compliments. I'm going to be nice today.
All right.
Good, great interview, although you had said that the questions were, this is what you're going to ask, and this is what we talk about. And I'm guessing the little firecracker from Colorado Springs has not told you what you're going to talk about. I'm pretty sure, just a big contrast between her and Corey. I'm just saying.
I'm not sure who you're talking about. What do you mean?
You're Michelle Malkin.
She's popping in at
8:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Frank, I guess I'm lost. I haven't heard the news. I didn't know Hickenlooper was running against Corey. I didn't know he jumped in.
Oh, no. No, he's still
on. That's news to me.
But everybody's predicting that around here. Chuck and Julie.
Well,
Peter
they're
Boyles.
All clowns.
Oh, really?
I know.
Who do you think's running?
It's going to be Walsh. I think he's going to go. Look, this is the problem with us Republicans, and I'm guilty of it. I'm all big on calling names, and then, you know, I've realized that you just don't get anywhere. But all you have to do is watch even Dan Bears. You know, they all have their little video of, you know, why I want to be your U.S. senator. Just go watch your videos. John Walsh looks like he's right out of a Coors Light commercial. Dan Bear, he's a little heavy on the I'm gay, but I don't know, man. You watch your videos, and the infighting at the bottom, you know, with Griswold saying she's going to jump in and, you know, originally telling Spalding that, oh, yeah, you've got to, after she lost, you've got to jump in on this. I just think it's going to be, it's either going to be Walsh or Johnston. And then if you look at, I'm sorry, Randy, it's gone. And I'll go back. Yes, Corey does vote with the president 90% of the time. What burned us with Corey was early on. And then if you go back to Kavanaugh, he had to go buddy up with Flake. And I don't know. I would just ask you, I know you think I'm whatever I am, but there's a lot of people that think like me, and we've been burned, and I don't think it's coming back. I'd mouth off about Brock. By the way, to the caller and the texters that talk about red flag, Corey can't do a damn thing about your red flag bill. Your state legislature gave it to you. Your governor gave it to you. You got to fix it there first, unless you do something on a federal level. But the fact is, Corey, it's that burn. It's that we've just been burned. You know, if you were a Tea Party guy, all of a sudden you were the scum of the earth. The establishment shunned them forever. They still shun them. You know, look at what they're doing with the fundraising now. It's like, oh, we're going to cut all our money loose. They burned the Tea Party guy saying, oh, we're going to cut back on, you know,
listen,
donations.
Man, I get the way that mess is played in Washington, D.C. I despise it. It is the reelection effort of Donald Trump, and the power that that can bring to Colorado, the acknowledgement and understanding that there is no viable alternative to Cory Gardner, the fact that he does, you know, he is a rural Coloradoan, a four-generation, three-generation American with those values implanted. And he's also smart, and he's also smart and a pragmatist. I mean, Donald Trump's approach is a winning approach right now. Donald Trump policies are winning policies in a vast array of areas. And so because of what's coming up in 2020, I'm just not going to spend too much time talking about why Cory's going to lose or what's wrong with him.
Okay. Well, listen, I agree with you. The more you listen to Cory, I can't help but like people. And I think he down deep, he's a decent guy. But the fact is, you got to look, go watch the other guys, man. Go watch the other guys, because I think we got the Democrat. I don't know, man. I'm just saying, they've got their, they don't have their used car salesman to run. They've got some qualified candidates that are going to do really well, and it ain't Hickenlooper. So I don't know. I kind of hope Hickenlooper stays in, because I think he does make them look a lot more reasonable. He does make he is kind of your typical Democrat from, you know, 30 years ago or whatever.
Exactly.
But even though he's a little on the lefty. But anyway, love you. Take it easy, Randy.
Hey,
can't
man.
Wait for Michelle, buddy.
Yeah, I'm glad that you listened. Glad that you called in this morning.
I don't like pissing you off. I don't need you punching me in the face. So
we try to keep it
at a minimum, buddy.
Yeah.
See you, bye, Randy.
Love it. Okay. All right, we got about 22 minutes to go until 8 o'clock. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. And here is the only other cut of Cory Gardner's speech at the Western Conservative Summit that I haven't played so far this morning. And, you know, it is interesting. Texters are calling in, or I have written in and said, make him say Trump, not the president. And I do wonder, is that a concerted strategy just to not say the name? I mean, I've heard him say the name. He said it during the speech. Not a whole lot of times, but he said it during the 17 or 19-minute speech at Western Conservative Summit. And you heard it himself. I mean, why would we not be getting on board to reelect this president? He talked about the policies, what they're doing for the country, the absolute benefits to Colorado of that developing relationship between Senator Gardner and President Trump. And, you know, if I sound like a cheerleader for the next 17 months when it comes to the presidential race, that's going to include Cory Gardner for me. We can start challenging and replacing Republicans with conservatives after we get through this next election. There is not going to be a change in Colorado as far as the Republican nominee for Senate goes. So anyway, here is cut four from Senator Cory Gardner at the Western Conservative Summit 2 weeks ago.
Now, I know that the next president will most likely choose two more Supreme Court justices. I know who President Trump would select, somebody like
Colorado's
own Allison Ide.
He said it. He said the name.
And I know who Bernie Sanders would select. Castro, anyone? And when it comes to the world stage, we've regained our swagger, our rebuilding of the military, to make sure that we will not be content leading from behind. We will not turn our back on Israel, our great ally. We will not let Iran continue to kill men and women in America's military. And we will defend Israel from the capital of Jerusalem with our U.S. embassy there.
Yeah, those are big dog deals. And for Republicans, for skeptical conservatives and activists, Tea Party patriots, whatever. Those big dog deals heading into 2020 ought to be very persuasive to you, and I really hope they are. And if Barney's right, and we're going to have one of these incredibly radical progressives like John Walsh as the opponent for Cory Gardner going into next year, I think Gardner is striking the right tone for that. I know for a fact that the campaign is not taking on any individuals yet, because why waste any of your bandwidth on what, 12 possible challengers in Colorado for the U.S. Senate seat? Let them sort that out. Be focusing on what they say, tracking everything they say and they do, and when the candidate emerges, turn your fire, turn your guns. Ooh, we said guns, sorry. Turn your attentions on them. And if it's a radical, power to them. I just don't think, when you look at the ballot issues, the financial issues, the fiscal issues, and the way Colorado votes, even during the wipeout off-year election of 2018, I think Colorado is not going to trend toward a radical progressive. I just don't think it's going to happen. But I could be wrong. 19 minutes to go until 8 o'clock. Michelle Malkin in the 8 o'clock hour. Lots and lots of your calls ahead. We've got a line open at 303-696-1971. Right now, it's time for our break. Right back on 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporate on News Talk 710 KNUS.
All right, here I am, 8:47. We'd be wrapping up. Really looking forward to our conversation with Michelle Malkin. I doubt that she was listening to the interview with Cory Gardner, but we'll talk a little bit about that, the approach to a controversial Republican, controversial at least to hardcore, rock-ribbed conservatives, Tea Party patriots, and otherwise. And then we'll get into a host of things. If you know Michelle Malkin, she'll cover a lot of ground in a very short period of time. Looking forward to that. We've still got a line open at 303-696-1971. We'll get back to the phones in just a second. But the text messages and the emails are pouring in. And I guess they're running about 9-1 in favor of the way that first interview was covered. And Susan in Alamosa writes, good job, right questions for the first interview in a long time. That's Susan in Alamosa. And I'm glad she made that distinction because it really was a choice. If you were listening carefully at the beginning of the interview, I said, you know, if this was July of next year, this would be a different interview, but we've got some time right now, and I think it's important to get reacquainted with Gardner to get reacquainted with his base, and that was part of the effort. Marilyn in Denver writes, fabulous in every way, your handling, his responses, your idea of how to handle the interview, all of it. Talk about success, so that's nice to hear. And then, of course, there's always this guy. And I don't mean this individual, but there's always this guy. That was without a doubt the worst interview ever, Michael writes. Not one hard question. You kissed his ass. Jeez, Randy, really? I thought you'd ask one hard question. One question I wanted to get to with the senator that I didn't get to was I wanted to ask about this budget deal because I hate the budget deal. I hate that Donald Trump supports it, pushes it, that the politics of, the reelection campaign, the fear, the trepidation that Republicans, including Cory Gardner, have of government shutdowns, even though historically they have not hurt Republicans in subsequent elections one darn bit. I hate that. But we just simply ran out of time. And you heard it from Gardner. He'll be back. And we've got 17 months to start dialing it in. I really wanted to give him a chance to talk, give you a chance to hear him. I was particularly moved by the closing of his speech at Western Conservative Summit. This is short, and we'll get to the calls.
Too many people have sacrificed too much for us to give up. Because America, we're going to be bigger and stronger than ever. We're moving forward. And to the world, I have one simple message. When it comes to America, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I'm telling you, if Cory Gardner convinces Coloradoans that that's who he is, that's what he means, and despite policy differences I might have with him, I do believe that's who he is, that's what he means. This is not globalist Cory Gardner. Maybe he's dialed in with big money and the things it takes to survive and build your position as United States Senator, that things we can all talk about in the weeks and months ahead. But if that's who he is and he convinces Colorado that that's who he is, he will beat the Democrat opponent. And Donald Trump, I do believe, is going to be playing hard in Colorado. Proof is in the pudding. We will see. Let's squeeze in Joe in Littleton. Welcome to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, Joe.
Morning, Randy. I'm glad that you got him on the air, and I feel it was a good interview. You did ask a couple questions like, you know, where were you? He gave his answer. But, you know, when you said, well, we're going to reintroduce you to your base, and throughout the interview, Cory Gardner kept giving those dismissive, sarcastic little... and we call that a horse laugh. That's a sarcastic horse laugh. And I look at voting for Cory, like when you said a big dog moment, I look at voting for Cory like trying, having to pick up somebody else's dog poop off your lawn. You don't want to do it. You're not enthused about it, but it has to be done.
You know, if that's what it takes for you to pull the lever for Gardner, it's okay with me. My hope, just the fact that he came back here to reopen a dialogue on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran after 1,575 days away. And it's not July of next year, it's July of this year. So we've got 16, 17 months to go to help Gardner understand how we feel and help us understand better how he thinks and governs and what he believes, you know, for moving forward. But for me, the overriding consideration is Donald J. Trump. Trump's endorsed him. And that's almost good enough for me right now.
Well, what I also notice is whenever he talks about what happened, and it's Trump's policies, because they wouldn't be enacted and they wouldn't be on his radar if it wasn't that President Trump was pushing them. He always says, we. He never says, well, you know, President Trump's policy on this, and we help support him on that, and, you know, President Trump trying to build a wall, and I support building the wall, you know, type. Don't be afraid to tie your intentions to the fence post. Don't be afraid to say, I support President Trump's, not we passed a bill, because that bill or that policy would not be in place had it not been for Trump. So this we, you know, unless you got a mouse in your pocket, give credit to the man that starts the agenda, and it's not him.
Joe, I hope Cory Gardner's folks are listening. I appreciate you listening to the show. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
You too.
And, you know, I agree with Joe about that, but since I'm going to put on, you know, I'm a defense lawyer. It comes naturally. But if I were to defend Cory on that, the we he's talking about is he's a U.S. senator. The we he's talking about is a Republican majority. Without a Republican majority, Donald Trump could be able to teach everybody how to pass a law to walk on water, and it wouldn't go anywhere if we didn't have a majority in the Republican Senate. Obviously, we got to get the House back to enact fiscal policies and get laws that we can rein in. Trump can get rid of regulations. He can put judges like crazy on the bench with only a majority in the Senate. But in 2020, none of that's going to be enough. And I think when the senator's talking about that, he means we, having a Republican majority in the Senate, has made the difference to have Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, has made the difference to pass the tax reform. But for John McCain, it would have made the difference in fully repealing Obamacare. So that's the we he's talking about. But Joe's points were really, really good, man. I did not hear use of the president's name, and I don't know if that's a strategy, a habit, or what. I did hear it in the speech, though. We played the snippet of that from Western Conservative Summit. So he's not afraid of it. But I'm sure there's a great deal of calculation going into the language that's used. 17 months to polish that up and get it right. All right, let's take our break now. We've got callers on the line. Line open at 303-696-1971. Michelle Malkin, about 8:20, so we'll take an early break at 8 o'clock. And really, really having fun getting all the feedback from you guys about that interview. I know some folks are disappointed. Just remember, the first of many, July 2019, not July 2020. All right? We'll be back. Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.